Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries magazines. Stay tuned and focused, and let God's life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. Would you look with me at Ephesians chapter number 4? And we're going to parade and peruse 3 verses of scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, 3 verses of scripture. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me there. Amen. Amen. We're going to get off some junk food and we're going to get on some faith food. Some amen. Have a faithful diet. And amen. When you have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Verse 14 says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use this for a topic, title, tag, and a thought. Let go and let's grow. Amen. Let go and let's grow. Amen. We need to grow. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, around verse number 17, he says that these signs shall follow them that believe. He says that they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall drink stuff and deadly things won't hurt them. He said, you know, that we'll be able to do a whole lot of things that you don't see happening in the church today. And I pray about that all the time, and I wonder what is it that hinders us from getting to the point and the place and the purpose that God has chosen for us. We have not fulfilled our purpose because we have not done those things that Jesus said that we could do. Amen. He said all things are possible to them that what? Believe. But we have so many people doubting in today's church. Amen. And the main reason why we are in the shape and in the state that we're in is because we're not mature. You don't have to say amen. We are not mature. We haven't grown up. Amen. We're still too childish in the spirit and in the flesh. Amen. We can say, you know, we both. Sometimes you can be one or the other and you got a good chance. But then when you both, boy, everybody knows how childish you are. Amen. But here it is, the book of Ephesians. Now, we got to understand that this book, again, is not for a novice. It's not for people who are not serious about serving God and people who are not serious about maturing in Christ. It is not for people who decide that all I want to do is escape hell. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you know, they say it ain't no hell. It's a fairy tale, you know. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, it's not for people who just want fire insurance. Right. It's for people who intend to fulfill life on this side and not look to get out of this so they can go to the other side. Amen. Because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, I remember I used to watch The Color Purple all the time. Me and my sister Bucci, we lived together and we didn't have cable, but we had that tape. And but every time something went on, you saw Celia, she would say, it's going to be over after a while. And I believe it was Sophia told him, girl, you ought to bash Mr. Head in and think about heaven later. All I'm saying is that we got a bunch of folks just like Seeley. We just want it to be over after a while. We don't think about what our purpose, what our talent, what we can do. After all of that, you notice at the end of that movie, she was so talented and didn't even notice. She had an entrepreneurial spirit, and she opened her own business. But because she was ready to check out of here because of other folks and other things, she didn't know what was in her. And that's what we are. We don't know what's in us because we let other people dictate how far we can go and what we can do. We spend too much time worrying about, talking about, acting out about people who are around us. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was talking about, you know, us African-American folks and black folks, whatever you want to call it, melanated people, how we got the crab syndrome and how we, you know, we pull each other down trying to get out of the bucket. And I told them, I said, you know what? I don't believe that it's just the crab's nature to pull you down in the bucket. I believe it is the climate that the crab is in. I believe it's the bucket and the water that makes him want to keep you down because he's trying to get up. Y'all don't hear me here. But you take a crab out of the bucket, he ain't pulling on nobody. He headed out to where he got to go. And so what I came today is to help you get out of your bucket so that you can get out and do something in this big ocean of life that God has placed us in. So when you look at Ephesians, this book, it's a letter. It was a letter to a church, the church at Ephesus, the church that Timothy, who was Paul's son in the ministry, where he pastored. He was the bishop there. And along with him being there, the apostle John, he was also at that church also later in life. But this church had grew, and it was a mature church, so mature that Paul said, I need to share some things with you, amen? So some things that he said he couldn't share with other churches, but he taught them natural things, he taught them spiritual things, and he let them know even to the point of who we fight against, who we wrestle against. He said, we don't wrestle against each other. See, that's where your problem has been in mature Christians, is that you've been fighting against people, and you've been blaming folks for stuff, and you've been talking about this person and that person. You mad and angry with this person and that person. You can't let go because you see those people, but the devil is the culprit in your life. He's the one. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, even wickedness in high places. You too blind spiritually, and you can't see what the devil is doing and how he's playing and toying with your mind, and he messing with your family and playing games in your mind, and you getting up mad, waking up. Who wakes up mad in the morning? Because the devil messed with your mind last night. You had a dream. Oh, yeah, I had a dream. Well, God don't give you dreams to make you mad at night. God gives you peace. Come on and say amen. He wakes you up with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Y'all don't hear me in here. We need to grow up and stop lying on God when we know it's the deceit of our heart that makes us act the way that we do. Let it go. And let's grow. It's time out for that stuff. Paul talks to them, and let's just go to the beginning of this chapter, this letter, Ephesians 4, this chapter. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of God. See, now that's one thing we forget, because this is my thing. I do what I want to. We do it how we want, when we want, where we want. But he said, I'm a prisoner. This means I've been captured and arrested by the Holy Spirit. And I have no choice to do what I want to do. I have to do what God wants. But we see, you know, I worked at a place for 15 years that I was, after 5 years, I was ready to go. And me and a couple of my friends that worked there, we talked about that day all the time, the day that we get to leave. Finally, after about 6 years, one of them left. And then after about 15, I left. But we talked about we couldn't leave until the assignment of where we were was over. I was like, why in the world I got to stay here this long? Keep falling out with people. And I realized some of the same people that I fell out with was the same people I had to lead to the Lord. Not only that, but some of them, they didn't come to the Lord, but they got to see Christ in me.
Some of them didn't even believe, but they knew to respect the Christ that I had on the inside. So I had to watch who I was because they was watching who I was too. Y'all, I don't know if you get this, but I had to mature, and that was where God had me so that I can mature in that place where I was. No, it wasn't comfortable. No, it wasn't good. No, I didn't like it. Yes, I was tired of it, but God gave me grace to keep on keeping on. And I was willing to fulfill the purpose, willing to get through what I had to get through with in order to get to what God wanted me to be. Paul said, I'm a prisoner. I get up when God tells me to get up. I move when God tells me to move. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He said, you got a call on you, and God's called you by name. Now, what did God call you? See, we don't even know what he called us. He calls us saints. Oh, you don't want to say saint because the Catholic Church put a label on a saint. Say that the only way you can be a saint is if you live a certain type of life, and then when you die, then you become a saint. No, you become a saint when you die to sin. Y'all don't hear me. You become a saint when you die to sin, not when you leave this life, because that's what God called. He said all of his saints. And so what does that mean? That means that no matter what people pin on me, no matter what they say about me, no matter what they do to me, God still looks at me and say he's justified. That he's right. He's okay with me. And see, that's why people don't want you to be okay with other folks, because they don't want you to be okay with other folks. But God has said, I want you to know that you're okay with me. But what we immature Christians worry about is if they're all right with other people. You're worried about pleasing everybody else. You're so bound by the opinions of others that you can't do God's will. You're afraid to forgive because you're afraid of what other people might say about how wimpy you are to let that go. You're afraid to I wish I had somebody in the house. You're afraid to say, I'm sorry, because you're thinking that somebody's going to say, oh, you was wrong. Who cares who was wrong? The main thing is to keep the bond of peace. The main thing is to make up with your brother or sister. The main thing is to keep your relationship with God intact. And the Bible says that if we don't have it right with our brother, God can't hear our prayer. Tell somebody, he can't hear you if you're mad. He can't hear you if you got unforgiveness. He can't hear you if you got an attitude. I wish I had somebody. What did he say? He said, if you got a problem with somebody and you come to church to offer God something, keep your little stuff and go get it right with your brother. Then you can come back and I might just receive it. I wish I had somebody in the house. We could quickly forget about Cain and Abel. Cain's attitude was wrong. Cain's object was wrong. But Abel came with a willing heart, and then God blessed and received his offering, and it made Cain mad. You ever thought that the reason why some people mad at you is because you gave God an offering that was received? You ever think that it's because people don't like you? It's because you don't mind giving God what he asked for when he asked for it, and the devil get in their heart and make them angry with you? Y'all don't hear me in here. I wish I had a church to preach to. All I need is about three or four people. He said, if I got two or three in my name, I'll be in the midst. I'm just asking if anybody in here had anybody just get at you because you're a Christian. Just mess with you. Just dig in at you. Well, a mature Christian don't get mad. The Bible said when the disciples were, when they were persecuted, they went back and they praised God that they can be persecuted because of God. I wish I had somebody in here that said, because of Jesus, I suffer. And so therefore, I praise him. Oh, they don't like me because of who I am, but then I still praise him. They don't like me because of what I've done, but I still praise God because of who he is. Oh, my God. I haven't even gotten to the message yet. Y'all just wait. He said, we got to walk worthy of the job. He called you to work. He called you to a job. And we do this job worse than we do the secular job. Because we ain't on time. We don't complete the task. Now, you know what? If we was at work and you didn't complete your task, you would get wrote up for job performance. Not only that, but after a few times, they would give you a slip and say, we don't need you. But we take God for granted. We take him for granted because we don't always do what he wants us to do. We don't always show up like he wants us to show up. We don't always pray. We don't do none of the stuff. We don't praise him like he deserves. We have stepped, but we don't want God to have bless us. What if God said, I'm only obligated to wake you up? What if that's all he did? Now you go get it. I woke you up. That's what we do, God. I showed up. I saved my off-father prayer. But you ain't helped nobody. You ain't did nothing else. You ain't loved nobody. You ain't forgave. You're just going through the motions. Huh? That's why so many immature Christians, I keep saying that because you're going to get it, are burned out about Christianity. They're burned out about church because they ain't really did their job. If you, oh, Lord. You know what helped me stay on a job that I didn't like? Is they kept letting me train to do different things. Yeah. If you're bored doing something, say, let me see what else I can do. Yeah. And by the time I learned something, and by that time I learned so much that I could train everybody on everything that was there. And then they decided to move me, and I didn't see what God was doing. Let me show you how God worked. They decided to move me into safety. I had been from production to quality to safety. And I didn't know what God was doing. Because after that, where I am now is because of the moves I made. Not because I was in control. Because God. Let me tell you what else. Immature people don't finish. I ain't got to the message yet. I'm trying to help somebody. We start. We don't finish. Over and over again, when my kids will tell you, when they want to do something, when they want to get on the team, play baseball or something, if I'm going to be running behind you, you ain't finna quit in the middle of the season. Next story. I told her, she wanted to quit softball once. I said, no, you wanted to play. And you going to finish because you wanted to do it. But because it got a little difficult for her, she wanted to quit. But I made her finish, and even though she was unhappy about it, she did it because the Father. Y'all don't hear me here. Lord, help me get through this. He said, we are called to a job, and if you're called to this job, why don't you do it? Why don't we love like we should? Why don't we forgive? Why don't we pray? Why don't we praise? Why don't we serve? Amen. I said that long because that's the biggest thing that's missing in church, service. Nobody wants to serve. Amen. Everybody wants to be served. Amen. Inconsiderate about the servants that are serving. We give up on service too quick because somebody don't. So what if they don't receive you? If they don't do it like I want, I'm just going to quit. So? Who are you for them to do it like you want them to do it? You ever thought that God might be speaking to somebody else sometime too? Or that he is in control on how it ought to go? We got to get to that place where I'm not moved by that stuff. I'm here because I want to serve. Amen. And if you want to serve, it doesn't care where you serve. Right. You don't care where you serve. It doesn't matter where you serve. Amen. If you really want to serve, you get in where you at. I knew y'all knew that. But how come we ain't fitting? Let me get on here. He said, now, he tells them, he said, with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, we ought to forbear one another in love. This is part of the service that God wants us to do and our contribution to his body, his church, to the believers and to the world. He said, with lowliness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring. We need to, with diligence, try to make sure we're unified. But we cause so much division because we can't shut our mouth. We and our face ain't saved. Because when we look at people, you're like, what's wrong? You know? And that causes a problem. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. We are so divided and so separated because we can't agree. Even though we agree that Jesus came, bled, died, and rose again, we still can't agree on the simplest things. We're too into finding other things to disagree on. Rather than finding the thing that we can agree on. And making that a bond. You know, let me tell you something. You got people who, family, there was a situation where these people were fighting, and then this guy decided he was going to go break it up. And when he got there to break it up, the folks turned on him. The family was in disagreement, but the outsider came to break up the fight. And because the family had one thing in common, that was blood, they beat him down. And that's how some of us, we got to learn how to get that one thing in common and beat the devil down with. All right, let me skip all of that and let me get back to where I was here. So he says in verse number 14, let's try right there, all right? After he talked about why you got pastors and preachers and gifts in the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so that you can be equipped with this word. What I'm giving you today ought to help you to want to do better. Amen. He said, that's why I give you a gift. Now, we reject the gift when we don't hear it and we don't receive and we talk about it and we put it down and we don't trust that what the gift is saying is what God gave it. Amen. And so he said, I gave you these pastors, these teachers, these evangelists, apostles, all for the work of the ministry. That's all I'm here for. I'm not here to come to birthday parties. I'm not trying to say I don't have any particular person in mind, but what I'm telling you is that God is saying, let's look at it. Verse number 11. He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body. I'm not even here for funerals or weddings. Look at that. Is that what it says? Did it say that he's here for weddings?
Nope.
It says for the what? Work of the what? Ministry. And the perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
The word perfecting is the maturing of the saints.
Yeah.
I'm not here to just, you know, go march if something's wrong in the neighborhood. That's not what I'm here for. Yeah, I'm not, listen, I'll do those things because of who I am. Let me say that, okay? So nobody won't be saying, he throwing off. No, I do those things because, I'm a nice guy. My wife tell me I am anyway. No matter, nobody, I don't care what nobody else say. She say I'm nice. I don't care about the rest. Sometimes she say I'm too nice. But I do that for that reason. But I'm not here for ice cream parties, birthday parties, funerals, weddings, graduations. I'm not here, for house blessings, for whatever. I'm not here for that. To go lay hands on the car hoping you can get it. It's not why I'm here. Y'all don't hear me. I'm telling you. You got that's what preachers do. I don't do that. I don't go lay hands on cars for that reason. If God intends for you, I'm just a person of faith. That if God intends, and your faith is you don't have, I don't even have to see it. I ain't got to come down there to the car lot. But I can agree with you right where I'm at. If it be God's will, it shall be done. But we put too much on people. We trust people too much rather than trusting that God will do what he said he would. Okay, y'all not mad with me?
No.
Stay with me then. He said, till we come into the unity of the faith, and that's what problem we got. We're not unified.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't sleep. I'm going to have to pump it up, Lily. Y'all sleep on it. Until everybody understand who Jesus is.
Uh-huh.
You know, we think we know who he is. Yeah, he died on the cross. No, You need to know who he is in you. We're not talking about a dead Christ. We're talking about the one living. Paul said it's no longer I, but Christ that lives. Galatians 2:20, read it. He said that lives in me. Do you know who is living inside of you? Some of y'all got too many people living in there. Y'all got Eddie and Doobie and Ruby and Booby. All of them in there. You need to get out. Let Christ live. Amen. Only him. Get all them other people out. You don't want him today because he'll come out the body. Why you still got him in there? I'm going to show him who I am. Why you got him in there? Get rid of him. He's the problem. He won't let you be great. How can I be great? Y'all always say, let me be great. How can I be great? The Bible says the greater one lives on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if I'm going to be great, the greater one has to be shown in my life. The greater one, Christ Jesus. Y'all with me? I can't be great without the great one. Help me, Jesus. All right, so verse 14. We're down. We're trying now. I'm trying to get through. I got another service to go to. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I know I'm not going to be able to do all this justice because I'm going to have to get out of here, but let me give you some good points here. First of all, don't be moved. Write that down. Don't be moved. He says, stop being childish. Be no more children. Don't be a child about everything. You got to throw a temper tantrum about everything. You know what? It's been a long time since I cried. But when I was a child, I cried a lot. Because I couldn't have my way. I cried. But when you get older, you can't have your way. You just say, oh, well, I got to do something else. Amen. But we cry about every single thing. That's a sign of immaturity. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you that you won't cry, have some feeling, or be moved by God. But I'm talking about when things ain't going your way, you just get mad, just want to cry all the time. Uh-huh. And you know what? If you think you're going to control people, you're going to keep crying. Amen. Let me tell you something. If God ain't controlling them, you think you're going to control them? If they're ridiculous, and God look at them and say, well, I'm just going to give them some more grace. The best thing you can do is give them grace too. Because you're going to frustrate yourself, and you're going to end up in a place mentally and physically that you don't want to be. Don't be moved. Paul said these words. He said, when I was a child, I'd done what? I'd done childish things. I thought and talked and acted as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put childish things away. And we don't want to grow up and become men. We don't